Whoa! Hey! Wow! So I just opened the YouTube there. Welcome to the 144th episode of the Sawdust Nation podcast, where you heard me say "bite me." But hey, folks, we got a pretty good episode for you coming up here with us here at the Sawdust Nation podcast with the host myself, Naps from Naps Naughty Works LLC, Josh from North Country Woodworking, and Nick from MPG Creations. A lot's going on. It seems that, I mean, I don't know about you guys, I've gotten super busy. Things are happening in the shop. Josh, I know you're freaking going crazy right now. And kind Nick, you had an insane couple projects that you've recently done. So let's go ahead and jump on into the old shop talk, and we'll start with Nick.
I told you all about that Buccaneer shadow box I was doing. And the customer sent me a reference photo, so nothing with like files or anything like that where I could use. I had a picture to go off of, and he said, all right, so I need this by, what is it? The 31st of March. And this was like 60 days ago. So I'm like, cool. No big deal. I'm going to have to do some serious reverse engineering on this thing in order to get it to look like what you want it to look like. And it took me, I want to say probably like 10 hours of computer work to get it right. And when I say 10 hours of computer work, I'd say half that is my fault, because initially I designed the exact shadow box that he had shown me, which was for a Marine Corps retiree, but he needed it for an Air Force retiree. And I made the entire shadow box for a Marine. So I don't know if you know this or not, but the logos are just a little different between the two branches. So
I think you should have definitely just left the Marine Corps in there and see how it went.
So the price that this guy paid, there was no choice but to do it right. You know what I mean? There was no error. Could not. That would have definitely for one, this guy's been a customer of mine for a couple of years now. And for two, it's just, you don't do that. You don't provide somebody the wrong item for a retirement. Although I have done that before, it wasn't that big of a, it was just a different type of shadow box that I sent them that they didn't want. Initially,
potato.
Yeah, but so it was still for an Air Force Master Sergeant, regardless. True. So it could pass for the time being. You definitely don't want to put the wrong branch logo on somebody's shadow box, because that just doesn't. People get confused.
Or Jason said, Jason's like, it'd be better if it was a Marine getting an Air Force one, because you know that would start some fights.
Yeah,
they probably fly and come kick, to be honest with you.
The guy initially told me, like, hey, I've seen this, the picture of this. I've never seen it in person. I don't know where to get it. I would have bought it from the person who made it, but I don't know where to get it. And you're the only person I know that would do something like, or that could do something like this. So I obliged. And then I ended up turning it out. It turned out pretty nice. It's on my Instagram. Yeah, that was like a couple late nights for that one. Did another Jameson, what do you call it? I call it the Jameson Garage plaque. So it's like a plaque as the base with the information for the person on it. And then there's like a little, looks like a little phone booth where that Jameson just slides right in that stands up. And then the stripes for the individual are propped up next to it.
Oh, okay, yeah. I think I remember seeing one of those.
So since I've done that one before, I already had, always back your files up and make sure you can find them, label them clearly, because it helps out when you're trying to make something for somebody and repeat it for somebody else. I did that last night. It took me 2 hours from start to finish. What's wrong?
Nothing. Just the chat. It's funny. We're busting your balls, Nick. That's what we're doing in the chat right now.
He's pulling up the chat now so I can see.
Yeah. So it pays when you have the YouTube channel on, because you can see if people are talking crap, but it also adds another layer to the patronage the people that pay for this thing to see us live.
Yeah, well, I'm going to try and get on there here in a second, but sorry,
Nick. Okay, everyone get their digs in now.
Yeah, get your licks in.
I've been pretty much working in every night in the shop till about midnight or 1 o'clock the past week, because everything that I have had, I don't know, I haven't been procrastinating, but I haven't been jobbing like I should have been, I guess. And I'm just knocking things out and shipping them out with enough time, like a week or so to get there. So,
yeah, a lot of last minute requests. Same with you, or?
So lately people have been giving me quite a bit of time to get things done on new project orders. So anywhere from like 3 weeks to a couple months. So I'm happy with that.
It hasn't been that way over here.
Yeah, I know how that feels, though. So don't get me wrong. I know how it feels when it's like Friday afternoon and someone comes to you and they're like, hey, I need this
tomorrow.
This full build by Monday.
You see, know? That I could do. It's when they come to me on a Monday and be like, we need this Friday morning. That means work and everything in between, and then, you know, have to navigate that project as well.
I think my favorite was the same day they messaged me in the morning. Yep. They go, hey, we need this is when I had a diode laser, by the way. They're like, we need a 341 etched on wood and finished by this evening.
Can you do it? I remember that.
I was like, sure.
I had the Glowforge. I had someone want a master stripe engraved and gave to them by noon. And I was leaving to go to New York at 1:00. I met them at the actual gas pump while I was pumping gas. They paid me and I handed them the stripe.
Hey, man, you got the goods? Yeah, man.
Pretty much how that worked.
Now, my favorite so far is how's the Avid going?
Yeah.
Bazinga. And then he's going to add this Onefinity on top of it. But then again, the Onefinity is way easier to assemble.
No, actually, so what I'm doing is I'm using the spoil board for the Avid as my spoil board for the Onefinity. So I can have two CNCs going on top of each other.
Alrighty then.
That's genius. I'm out.
I need a drink.
It's like at this point, that it's okay. This is like if I had FU money, had an image. That's what that is right there.
No,
Nick. Anyway. Nick just needs some time. Like he needs like a slowdown week just to like, you know, get his Avid up and running, and then he can mess with that thing while he's putting together Onefinity.
I'm exhausted.
You look tired.
Yeah,
I have to say it, man. But you look like
I got one more project to do tonight, and then two more projects to do the next 2 days, and then another project to do the day after that, and then I'm clear for a little while.
Like that's like a small break in there after those?
So I'm actually, the small break is me flying to Dover, Delaware to go to a retirement ceremony. So one of those projects is to finish that shadow box for the guy who's retiring.
Oh, good.
So I can finish that over the weekend. That's not a big deal. That won't be too tough because I don't have my kids this weekend, so I can pretty much focus, you know?
Yeah.
But it just never fails though. When I do have the kids and I'm trying to do some math or something I'm not really good at, I'll be in the middle of an equation, and the next thing you know, here they come asking questions. Can I have a fruit roll-up? Can I have a popsicle? I'm like, ah, now I got to start all over again, man. So that's all that's got going on in my shop, man. I'm just busy, busy. What about you there, Nap?
Well, I think I finally found the roots here. People are finally starting to come to me for jobs. It's catching on that I do better work than, we'll say, the local place here. And I've actually had to tell some people no. I've had some people come to me from out of state, some return customers, which has been nice. I have a security forces badge that I got to make for someone in Colorado because another maker in Colorado currently is super busy with another job. That's a much larger. It's actually John Davis, by the way. He's actually picking up steam over there in Colorado, which is pretty awesome. But he's busy with one bigger job. So his coworker was referred to me. So I'm going to go ahead and make this security forces badge. Going to try something a little different. They have like a The centerpiece, it looks like glass. And then, Nick, this is why I was trying to talk to you about engraving acrylic, painting it, and then doing the whole thing, you know? Because they have it to where the glass is etched from behind. It's fairly visible, right? But then the background is like a blue, like a navy blue color. So the engraving's white, but the background's blue. But the problem is I got to figure out how I'm going to secure said piece of acrylic. Yes, I'm the only one that can do it, Jason. I'm trying to figure out how I can secure that, because typically it's with the 3M. But if I can paint the engraving white or silver or whatever color is going to stay, let it dry, then hit it with a blue background color and then put it in there, it could turn out great. However, it's proving to be fairly difficult, and they said I don't have to do the glass. I just said, if I can do it, can I do it? And they said, sure, but if you can't, you can just do it, you know, or etch it directly on the wood, which is completely fine. So that's something I'm working on right now. That's not due for another couple weeks, but I'm going to probably finish it this weekend just because it's a simple carve and laser etch. The only part of it that's anything difficult is maybe that piece of plexiglass that I'm going to mess with. We'll see if my tests prove successful so I can maybe find a different element to the plaques. What's up, Josh?
Talking about testing, did you ever work out the laser grade acrylic?
As far as the grayscale, no.
Yeah, no, never worked out.
So I tried different raster angles. I tried different power settings. I think what it has to do with is my inexperience with doing the Jarvis Dither or the grayscaling.
Mm-hmm. It could be
acrylic. It's just going to take, well, and it's acrylic though. It's not wood. So
it's not just, I mean, what I'm saying is, it could be the medium you're working with. Maybe glass would actually be a better, conductor.
For yes. That. You aren't wrong there, but the problem is it's got to fit in this predetermined
yeah.
slot.
I mean, for you have to light. Figure a way to cut the glass, but I mean, like once you figured that out,
Yeah, I don't think I'm cutting glass anytime soon, homie. Unless somehow I can get the CO2 to do it, which maybe. I've exploded a glass with the CO2, so maybe. I don't know.
I don't know, man. I thought about that the other day. Like, cutting glass with a CO2 laser?
Like, I don't know. I'm kind of curious. You know what?
For how shits many passes?
Listen, for shits and gigs, I'm going to give it a try. I'll give it a try this weekend. I'll go buy a small pane of glass. See what happens. I'll let you guys know. I'll wear a bomb suit just in case the glass explodes. We'll Ooh. See what happens with that. But so that's that plaque. Let's see what else. So we got that project in the works. Well, not really in the works. I just got to design it, get it, you know, mocked up and then ready to build. And then I got the trophy. I was working on it before I came into the podcast. I glued the... we'll say the top portions of those layers up before I came in here. Jason gave me a pretty good idea on how I'm going to line these things up, which I'm not going to explain it because you got to see it to understand. But just know I've got a way forward of how I'm going to put these layers together without a lot of hassle. And it has to do with using really crappy plywood to make a square to align it, like align each layer so I can glue it down and then pin nail it to that piece of plywood that's essentially on the inside. I'll probably show pictures of it / video in Instagram reel or something. But there's that going on still. I got another order for a shadow box. So the individual said, hey, I don't have the means to make this. Can you make it? And this is a return customer. And I said, that also is a woodworker, but he's very limited based on his time and what he does and his ability within the shop because he doesn't have the same tools I do or machines for that matter. So I'm going to make a Mass Sergeant shadow box for him. He's going to send me the details, and that's going to head out. Honestly, the only thing I have as far as location is whenever he gives me his address because it's one of those places. So cool. It's an empty shadow box. He's going to fill it because some of the stuff he can't actually give to me, which is interesting. So there's that. And then I have the Hap Arnold, which I'll start not next week but the week after because that's not due till June. I have that 16 plaque order did come through. They talked me down to 40 per piece instead of 45 per piece. So I obliged. I'm going to do that one. Other than the obsessant back and forth with like what the design's going to be on this particular type of plaque. But I ended up finally getting him to settle on something without a whole lot more engineering on what the actual design is going to be.
So that's cool. He finally agreed to something, which we'll get that knocked out. And then, let's see, what else do I have going on? I'm finishing up some chief induction stuff. So we had some folks make chief, which is the highest enlisted rank for the Air Force. And I got some flags. I won't say what kind of flags, but I was given some flags that did not scream, "We made chief." So the individual gave me some flags to alter. I don't typically alter other makers' work. However, I'm just adding one accent to it and maybe finishing some hatchets from the unnamed business that currently works in the area that I've been trying to, we'll just say, best in the market of making here at Minot.
So you're trying to put them out of business?
No, that's not possible. They will. They honestly, they can have all the business they want. I'm just trying to take the low hanging fruit, if you will, because you know it's just easier to make plaques and stuff when you make them better than those people. So I'm doing that, and then you know another development. I was hemming and hawing on whether or not I was going to talk about this or not, but I'm just going to screw it. I'm going to talk about it. You two know about it. So I was fortunate enough to acquire a new piece of machinery.
Tell me more.
So we went to WorkbenchCon, right? And we saw a bunch of really cool things. And one of those things happened to be a CNC of sorts. I'm trying to take over Mina. Oh, no, Heather, I will not confirm nor deny the name of said place that you are talking about in the chat at this moment.
It is. I'll do it for him.
What is the Hap Arnold shadow box, Jason? I will show pictures as it goes on, but it's a bunch of layers of different woods to make the symbol of the Hap Arnold. But I did end up acquiring a 3-axis dedicated rotary Cyclone or Odyssey Cyclone CNC. I'm pretty stoked about it. It's pretty much a lathe, but CNC. I'm going to still use the lathe I have to learn how to make pens and things because pens are pretty small and I wouldn't use the CNC to make pens. I just kind of still want to learn how to turn things. But the CNC rotary that I'm getting is going to help me make certain projects that are on the horizon, like bullet or ammunition, 30 mil, 20 mil, 105s and all those things. Yeah. So I ended up getting, so, yes, Corey did get to me, if you will. I more or less sought him out. But, yes, so I am going to – Ben, I'll tell you what. I'll get to that project when I start it. How dare you? I don't want to talk too long. But, no, so yeah, I got okay, that.
Come on. Let's take a pause and read his comment. I mean, like, that's just glorious.
And working on Ben's project because it's the most important of all. I even hate it in my – I have it in my dreams. Yes, I do have it in my dreams. I've been thinking about your stemless wine glasses that have – the lathe stems on them. So Ben has me making a wedding gift. It's got some stemless wine glasses that had some stuff lathed out for the stems of the actual wine glasses themselves. And I'm going to be making a keepsake box for them, which is pretty awesome. I'm still trying to figure out how I'm going to make it special. To be determined.
Your touch makes it special.
Yeah, I'm going to touch it. Yes. But yeah, so continuing on with the CNC saga. So I get this thing in like 3 weeks. They are customizing it. So it's a special edition type thing, which is pretty cool because it's the first 10, one of the first 10 machines being built. I was very fortunate. I would just say I would not have gotten this machine if somebody else would not have backed out because I just so happened to reach out at the right time. And they say that timing is everything. So I got lucky in this instance. So I cannot wait to share my journey with that because I've never done rotary before. Yeah. So we'll see what happens. We'll see how much shit I can break. But yeah, so that's what's going on in my shop. Quite a bit going on.
How much was it?
I will discuss with you that online or offline.
Up a trillion dollars.
It wasn't that it was expensive. It's just the price is something that I'd rather not talk about on the podcast.
All right. So was it below $5,000?
I'm not going to talk to about this in the podcast.
So it was above $5,000.
No, I'm not talking to you about this on the podcast, man. But honestly, if you really wanted to know, you could probably look at their site, but it's not really about how much it cost me, because I did ask for some other particulars, because certain things are easier for myself because I'm military and moving is kind of a key component of moving machinery. So there's some things that I asked of them and they're actually kind of helping me out with some things. So that's why I'm not going to discuss price. But other than that, that's what's going on in the shop. Josh, what's going on?
To be fair, I have been busier, so I feel grateful that A, that I have jobs, and you know, C, that I'm busy enough to say that I'm getting things done, but don't feel like I'm so stressed out I'm losing my hair. But I'm doing a couple of plaques. I had a last minute request over the weekend ish to get it done by Friday, and the other one is due by the 4th, but I'm trying to get it done this week as well to get it knocked out. One has a little bit of acrylic to it and some engraving. The other one is just engraving, multiple different pieces of hardwood for both. One's fairly large. One is about medium. I kind of had to work with the price with them. But you know, one's, for the Navy, one is for the Marines. So again, those knocked out. I'm pretty stoked about the one with acrylic again, because it's going to look cool. The design they had is just outstanding, and I can't wait to get to it. But yeah, so I got a couple plaques. I got some inquiries about Shadowbox. They wanted done like last minute, and I told them the price, and they didn't like that. So they said, thank you for your time. I had a plaque they wanted done. They let me know yesterday. They wanted done by Friday. They wanted acrylic, and they wanted a decent-sized plaque. And I told them, you know, a pretty good price for it because, you know, I figured I could knock it out. And they didn't want that either. Like, I don't know what people around here expect when it comes to pricing, but, you know, we had a comment on someone else's page here that, you know, Arts and Crafts Center does it for a fraction of the price than the small businesses, as my wife stated. And some people you just can't, you know, satisfy when it comes to pricing. So, you know, as long as you feel good about the pricing and you can stick to it and good reason why, that's what I do. If I lose a couple jobs over it, I do. So that's just something that, as you know, time progresses, I've learned myself. Past that, I'll be getting the rest of the stuff for the retirement chest here on the 31st. I'm really looking forward to getting that knocked out and complete, not only because it's going to look really cool, but because it's been in my shop, the pieces have for a while. So I can actually continue building that. Hopefully it's going to go fairly quick just because I've been building it in my mind for like a month or two. So anyway, it shouldn't take too long doing that. Cleaning up shop, looking around, going to start packing the shop virtually to see how much room I'm going to need for the move. So I can actually buy a trailer that's going to fit the shop and not guesstimate and either buy too much of a trailer or too small of a trailer and get that priced out and purchased. I'm working on some estimates now for the top three in the next promotion cycle. We'll see how that goes. They're asking for a lot for very little. So we'll see how that pans out. 3D printing, got that going. Has some help. Basically, the issue I was having is I was printing with ABS, which is a type of filament that is a little bit, you have to print at extreme heat, but it's more durable and heat resistant than normal PLA. But it leaves like a film on the build plate. And I usually clean the build plate with isopropyl alcohol and get, you know, all that stuff off. But for ABS, I wasn't getting it off. It was just removing like a little bit of the grime. So I was told to basically wash the build plate, use the alcohol and do that a couple of times. And the first print after I did that, beautiful. Probably I've tweaked with the setting so much. It was the best print I've had off the printer. So I'm pretty happy with that progress. I was able to knock out the order for Kumo, which is going out tomorrow. I'll do the label tonight. And I got an order for a friend in California that'd be going out tonight as well. And with the success of printing, I'm going to actually launch the prints on my website here in the next week. Just some small things to see if I can get some traction with that. I might do it on Etsy as well, to kind of see if I'm going to pay for the listing price for a 3D print. So it's here or there. But yeah, that's about it. There's not all that much going on. I got no new tools or anything coming in like these guys, unfortunately. I did see a lathe on sale on Facebook Marketplace. It was a Harbor Freight one with all the tools and some chucks and stuff. And it was like $250, but I just don't want to add more to stuff I have to move at this point. You know, I can get that stuff later down the road. I'm not, you know, needing any of that right now. So I'm trying to be smart. It's hard. It's really hard. I built some CNCs this week, put them in my cart, looked at the price. just to see, you know, what I need to do. You know, I could sell my X car, but it's not going to give me a direct replacement, unfortunately. So I need to be smart with how I do it and when I do it.
But, hey, Josh.
Sup?
So check it out. You're about to cross train and you're about to move and all these things. But you know what might be coming up around the time you're moving, if not getting settled? Black Friday.
Yeah, that's true. Well, see, I want to do something I didn't do the first time. So when I bought the first CNC, X-Carve ruled the scene when it came to CNCs. When Infinity wasn't a thing, you had Shapoko, but like it wasn't much. Like it looked, didn't have the upgrades. I mean, the stuff they had to offer, I just didn't really consider as a better CNC at the time. So I'm trying to make sure that don't happen again. Infinity is an amazing machine. It's solid. It has amazing features. But I want to make sure that when I buy, if I do decide on the Infinity, something behind it's not going to come up and be like, hey, this is one better just because I didn't do my research. So I'm just going around. I'm looking at Avid, Sepcraft. I'm looking at all the different CNCs in the price range I'm willing to pay. Just to make sure that, you know, it's going to fit the bill and not be something I'm hoping having to upgrade 1,000 different ways to, you know, get to, you know, where I need it.
You know what sucks though, is you're going to do all this research and you're not going to find any inklings of anything new coming out. You're going to buy something and it's still going to happen.
Because yeah, it's unfortunate, but it does.
It's
it's
a vicious cycle.
It is, you know, and that's the problem with technology is there's always something better coming out. That's why I'm not in a hurry, okay? I'm going to knock on a piece of wood here because my CNC at the moment is doing everything I need it to do. The major complaint I have is the bed, which I'm trying to design something better for that currently. You know, it's not top of the line. I can't push it to the limit like some people can, but it's carving what I need it to carve. It's 3D carving things I need it to do. And in the meantime, I can buy programs and stuff and learn it on that machine. And then when I get something better, it'd be that much easier. So I'm just trying to be smart with it. I don't need to buy a new CNC and have to move that too. So we'll see. Hopefully it's in the future. We'll see how the dice roll on that. So, but yeah, that's really all I got for the shop and what's going on. I'm trying to take the orders I can in, knock them out as fast as I can, just so I don't have them last minute and get last minute stuff. Back in the 3D printing, thankfully, I was really having some issues with that. Oh, I do want to mention Nap. Thank you for your help with the rotary. I should probably tell the story out there. I totally forgot about it there for a minute. So long story short, I was having these issues with my rotary, right? And apparently over time, the machine moves just enough where sometimes it can make your image on a Tumblr, you know, skewed. So Nap's like, hey, do this, do that. You know, try to reset the settings. We do it and it's still kind of messed up. And I'm just rubbing my temples at this point, ready to throw the rotary system out the door. And I look and the back bracket on the rotary was loose and therefore it was off center. And therefore that's why everything was all messed up. So with having to redo the settings and then realigning that, I got some really good engravings out and I'm back in business with that. So thank you for walking me through that again and giving me some words of encouragement because for a minute there, I might have been one rotary down.
The obscenities that were probably coming from your garage were
We're not meant for children around the area to hear. Thankfully, it was late at night.
Hey, so speaking of things you talked to me about, right? So yep. I'm sure these folks don't listen to the podcast, but I just want to like take a quick note, right, about like the community helping each other out and those things, right? So Josh was telling me about some folks that may or may not live around him. Okay, so check this out. So we talk about lasers all the time. We know a lot about them. We've helped people out. We've put people in the right direction. All these things, right? And these individuals apparently bought an Omtec laser. I'm like, oh, that's cool.
Which is awesome. Like, I was excited.
Yeah, it's awesome, right? But yeah, so excited. He's more excited for them than they're excited for themselves. These folks, literally, as Josh drive by, closed their garage.
No, they didn't drive by. I walked up my driveway. I turned around, saw the blue. I'm like, oh, I know that color. It's Omtec. And then they're like, shut the door. And I'm like, oh.
Like, and he even tried to give them, you know, a code to help us out, help us out a little bit.
Now, our new code gives you 5% off, by the way.
Yeah, that's what I told him. I said, you should have let me know. We could have gave you a percentage off. So.
And then they were just like, yeah, we don't need no code. And it's like, oh, you're one of those people.
They said that?
And they said in different words, but regardless, I really enjoy when people, like when people get new tools, like DAP and Nick, Nick with the CNC, well, both of you guys with your different CNCs, I'm actually really excited for these guys. Like the capabilities they add to their shop is just outstanding. And plus I get to learn through them as they, you know, progress and learn their stuff. And then if I ever go down these different alleys and get the same CNC or, you know, want to get into it, I have two people experience with it. So that's part of this community that excites me, really. You know, when people do good stuff and they get stuff, I get excited like I get a new tool. So not being able to share in that excitement kind of threw me for a loop a little. That's all. So
you would think when you get something new like that, like I guarantee those folks don't know how to use that thing right out the gate. Right, like all the ins and outs of it. And if they have questions, they're going to go to a forum where they have no human interaction that can actually help them when they have someone right across the road that's more than willing to help them.
And, you know, these guys are great makers too. And, like, you know, they're definitely going down a path where I'm glad they finally got a bigger laser. But just a light burn or the basic setup, you know, having someone there to help you out is huge. I was trying to do it myself, and Nap and Nick both played a big part in me trying to get that set up. So I don't know. You know, some people want to do their own thing, don't want to be part of the larger community. That's fine. It's just, I don't know. I can't buy any new tools right now, so every time someone buys one, I get to live a little bit through them.
just come to Minot in like 3 weeks, man.
Oh, dude, I would love to be there for that delivery and just so we can carve the first thing we talked about.
And we'll send it straight to Nick's house.
Straight to Nick's house. We should make it a lamp.
But yeah, sorry. I had to randomly bring it up because it was like one of the topics of the discussion we had during like our phone calls outside of helping you with the rotary. It just kind of chat a little bit because it's just like, come on, man. Like, we're not here to steal your business. Like, there's plenty out there. And if you're listening to this, just know there's plenty of business out there for every maker. I'm sorry. Like, there's not enough of us to keep up. I'm just saying.
I truly believe there's that same thing. Other people I've talked to don't. They think that some people have told me that I'm kind of ruling the roost when it comes to plaques and stuff on base, which is great to hear. It's like a compliment, but I don't believe it's true because I know for a fact that, you know, other people do definitely get jobs and stuff like that. So, like, it is what it is. You know, I feel like there's enough jobs out there for everyone.
Well, I mean, there is.
Anyway, sorry, got on the soapbox there for a minute. Maybe.
No, they're like, I think that, so those people that shut their garage door on you, I see that kind of like mentality as like somebody else we know. That mentality.
Bravo, just, Johnny Mike.
Yeah. So it's just kind of.
Johnny, really?
You know, rising tides lift all boats, right?
I mean, it's Joker, but Johnny, I had to say Johnny.
Juliet, depending on who you ask. Yeah. But yeah, I agree. Like, I guess because we do the podcast, we do the Instagram thing, we just expect everyone to be in it, you know, for everyone else. And just isn't the case. Yeah, we're all in business, but like we've said already like 10 times, plenty of business to go around. And you know what? Learning from each other only makes us all better. Because, you know, I've literally been teaching someone, and this goes for almost any aspect of my life. I've been teaching people before different things, and they're like, what about this? Well, I've never thought about that before. Let's take a moment to explore that line of thinking, and it can make you better. So, I don't know. It is what it is. Move on from that. But
yes.
That's what's happening in my shop. I can't think of anything else currently going on. I pay taxes coming up. Reminder for businesses out there. But that's about it. You guys want to finally talk about sanding?
Yo, we've been trying to talk about sanding for like 3 episodes, but we keep getting into some good stuff and we're just like, yeah, we'll save that for next time.
I don't know if you saw the description I did for the Patreons, but let's see if I can pull that up real quick. It goes, let's be honest. I have no idea what we're going to talk about. Maybe if I say we won't talk about sanding, we might.
Alrighty then. Let's talk about sanding. Yeah, I hate it. Other than with my particular sander, it's not too terrible.
There's only one person I really know that says they enjoy sanding.
Who?
AJ from Crafted in NJ. He will say left and right that he enjoys sanding, and I have still to this day do not understand why.
Does anybody in the chat enjoy sanding?
Heather did ask, will you be quick to help when they come to ask? Yes, I would be. Their behavior doesn't reflect upon me as a person. I like to help, and you know what? Maybe that will open up lines of communication so they're more open to the community.
Yeah. He's a little more forgiving than I am.
They didn't do anything to me. They're not hurting my business. And they're not going to hurt my pride. So
I get it. I just, if somebody kind of like, I don't know, snubs me, then I'm kind of whatever. Like, I'm not going to, if you ask me a question, I'll give you the answer, but I'm not going to go out of my way to be like, oh, hey, neighbor.
Oh, yeah. I'm not going to, you know, 12 o'clock at night answer the phone and be like, okay, I'll help you out. But, you know, reasonably, I'll give him a hand. We got back into the question of neighborly.
As it relies to sanding? No, I mean, I will not help my neighbor sand.
Matt says he doesn't hate sanding. But I don't hate it. I just, if I have to do a lot of it, I don't look forward to it. We'll just put it that way. The Merco definitely helps sanding. And through trial, I have found the sandpaper that, you know, kind of fits the bill and works really well. But I think we're jumping ahead. So the topic of sanding, I kind of really want to start off with like how we started. You know, the first sander we had, sandpaper we used, was spill the beans on like, you know, how that affected our business and even our finishing game. And then how we progressed into the sanders we currently have and sandpaper we currently have. Because I think it's important for people to realize we didn't start off with Merca. You know, we didn't start off with a Fez tool. We started off like everyone else buying the sanders that are easy to get a hold of and the ones that you see on low shelves or Home Depot shelves.
Hey, so real quick, before we jump into this, Matt makes a pretty good point. I know this is jumping back to the thing, and then we'll get into like the different sanding. Matt says, you don't know what their story is. Maybe they were burnt in the past. Based on, and that could be the case.
Well, I can tell you that right now, if you put your any part of your body in front of where that beam's at, you will get burnt. So
you're so dumb.
It's true. I did it myself.
I've done it twice.
But
on that topic, did you guys realize there's a warning sign right below? Like you open it and right below there's a warning sign. Do not place your hands or arms in the line of the beam. Yeah, I've done it twice. And I just now the other day realized that there's a warning sign there.
You do know I got my laser straight from China, right? There is no warning symbols. There's just stuff that moves.
You can make one.
So, but yeah,
Matt, I removed all safety warnings off my. No.
But hey, Matt, real quick, just not to negate what you said. No, you are absolutely right. They might have been burning their past. But at the same time, there is a level of, I guess, decorum when someone asks you something or when someone says, like, hey, I see you got this. You know, they're being really cool about it, being neighborly. And then you just kind of get shut down, like big stone wall right in front of your face. But I get what you're saying. And I will say I've been as understanding to that level. But there is a level of rudeness people can have that makes me feel some sort of
way. Jason asked, just hands and arms, or what about other body parts? And
I don't know.
I've seen a video of somebody actually putting their hand, their leg on a CO2, and that was weird. I don't know why you would do that. But
so I've seen people try to get tattoos from their lasers.
I'm just saying that it will burn your wiener. Not the
damn it, Nick. Anyways.
Don't we want to know what design you were trying
to
put on?
No, okay. We don't need a ruler, okay? No rulers.
Ooh, a ruler.
Yeah. Anyway, it's millimeters to inches. Back to the sanding topic. I just wanted to acknowledge Matt because he made a really good point, and I didn't want to leave that out. But to the sanding thing, I guess I could start because I've got a funny story about the sanding thing. And it includes John Davis over at Why Not Woodworking. So I started with your typical DeWalt sander, the 5-inch orbital with the Grizzly sandpaper. And then there was some 3M in there somewhere just because why not? I didn't know anything about abrasives. I just knew that it took, you know, stuff up. It took stuff down. It ate the material that you put it on and it left really crappy swirly marks that I absolutely hated and didn't know how to get rid of for the longest time, which we'll talk about, I'm sure, as we progress through this. Then after a while, I met Nick, and this was from North Carolina all the way over to Lackland. I met Nick about a couple months into my stint at the academy, and he started talking about a 6-inch sander that he had. And I was like, well, I don't have money to buy this particular sander. So I bought the rigid 6-inch. This thing is a monster. Like, we're talking, it's got, like, you know, have you ever seen, like, the back massagers and whatnot? Really long wand? Yeah, that's what the Rigid was. It was this really massive sander with the 6-inch sanding disc on it, right? And I had no dust bag on this thing. So when I'm sitting there sanding, there's just dust everywhere. Well, the funny story is that John Davis was over in my shop, and we were hauling away some material, and I was using the 6-inch sander, and he goes, "Nah, how are you operating in here with all that dust flying around? I'm surprised you're not dead yet." I was like, I don't know. I just do it because I worked with the garage open. So I really didn't realize how much dust was flying off the sander for the longest time. So uneducated, not knowing a whole lot about dust evacuation. I always thought there was just a bag that went in the back of this thing. That's how ignorant I was to, like, the HEPA vacuums that they have now for most of the nicer sanders out there on the higher end of the spectrum, if you will. But I thought there was just a bag that was super annoying that left a bunch of dust on your piece because there was nowhere else for it to go once the bag was full. So I really didn't know much about dust extraction. And then eventually I ended up talking to Ed over at Oak Ridge Woodworking. And, you know, because he is I don't know if he still is, he might still be, but he was selling the Merca sander. I knew nothing about Merca. I didn't even know it was a thing. I didn't know anything about Festool. That's how uneducated it was. Like, that's how new I was to the game. Knew nothing about these nice sanders. And then, of course, later on, Surf Prep came onto the scene later into, you know, the adventure or the journey into, you know, making. But Merca and Festool were the things that I knew after Nick had told me about them. Well, Nick had a Merca. So Nick, you know, convinced me to get one. So I eventually got a Merca. And the reason why I got a Merca was – one, because Nick had one. I was trying to copy Nick. But two, because there was the added benefit of the fact that, one, it was super easy to use in my hand. And then there's also the fact that it had the dust extraction. I knew nothing of the dust extraction until the Merca. And I had actually played with Nick's Merca, not to be confused with anything else.
played with my 6-inch.
I played with a 6-inch Merca.
How was that vibration?
I honestly realized that at that time that I was messing up when it came to the type of sander that I had. Just because, one, the ease of use, two, the fact that I didn't have dust flying everywhere, and three, it was just comfortable to use. Whereas with the Rigid, I had to hold this handle down like I was squeezing the trigger of this rigid sander, and yeah, it was ridiculous. I went to visit Nat and ended up buying a Merca. It's all his fault. Yes, you used my Merca too, man. That's good.
Wow, everyone's touching their sanders.
Everyone's touching everyone's Mercas or sanders, but yeah. So that ended up being what I've been using. I've had it since probably late 2020, maybe early 2021. And I haven't really gone anywhere else since. However, comma, there is maybe some stuff later down the road. I've really been entertaining the sponge sander option just because it is really good for certain things. Like if you use the Roman OG, if you use roundovers, mm-hmm. or any really difficult sanding tasks, the sponge sander seems to be pretty awesome. It was proven at WorkbenchCon. And Surf Prep is just one of the many, couple I've seen. But Surf Prep has a sponge sander that they were using on one of the more intricate pieces that were carved. It was the dual-headed dragon with all the nooks and crannies. And honestly, it worked pretty well. So if you don't have one of those, and not specifically Surf Prep, but any kind of sponge sander, I would suggest maybe looking into something like that.
So I would suggest Surf Prep for a couple of reasons, since we're talking about this.
Yeah, tell me about it.
So Surf Prep is a family-owned business, which is something we all like to support, right? We're a maker community. We like to get behind businesses like that. They get behind their product and with excellent service and support. That is another, you know, knock that I would definitely get behind. And their product is top grade. I don't own one. I know people that do. Nick, I believe you have a Surf Prep sander. But every time at WorkbenchCon, I have got to try it out. I've seen what it can do. And I have not met one person that regretted buying from them. In fact, it's the complete opposite. You hear nothing but good things. I like my Merca. I don't regret buying it. But I think the next sander I buy will be from Surf Prep, just based on the things I listed previously.
Oh, and I'm not saying that, you know, that I wouldn't buy a Surf Prep. I'm just saying, like, for the listeners, like, because let's just be fair, those sanders are higher end. It is what it is.
Absolutely,
right?
Yeah. I'm not saying they're not.
So if there's another option that isn't those, start with it, and if you like it and you want to progress on, then yeah, those are your options. But that's my story on sanding. Not necessarily techniques, but what I started with and where I'm at now, still using America, still the go-to sander because, well, it's the only sander I have.
Are you going to purchase another sander coming up at any point in time, or are you kind of satisfied with your service?
No. I will buy another sander here eventually, but unfortunately, I went and bought a CNC instead, so sander's on pause. So there's that. But yeah. What about you, Nick? How'd you start with your sanding journey?
So I started off with your regular old, the DeWalt sponge sander that takes the rectangular pieces of paper and has little clasps on the front and the back.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
That sucked. Not only did you not take enough stock off if you were trying to, like, hog stock out, but it would just vibrate your hand to beyond, you know, it was just terrible. And then I moved to a Bosch orbital sander. It was a 5-inch, and that was a little better. I started using the Diablo, you know, the Diablo sand discs. And then, well, then I bought a Festool 5-inch sander. And I was like, you know, there's got to be a better way, because the ones you get at the Home Depot will just vibrate your living soul out of you. And what? Well, it's true.
No, that's why I'm laughing.
So I got that the Festool one, and that was good, but it was only 5 inches, and I was like, I wanted to make the jump to a 6-inch sander. And that's when we met Ed from Merca or National Abrasives, and it was perfect. You know, I bought my sander off of Ed, and he, you know, it shipped out, and then I fell in love with the Merca. And fast forward though, so I've been using that Merca, and I've used Orca abrasives on it. I've used Merca abrasives on it. I've used what else? I used
Evernote.
But yeah, the Avernet, that's by Mirka. But I now only use 3M, like the hexagon paper. It's like it's the netted paper sand discs, but it's so much cheaper than Avernet and Festool sandpaper. I would say the only thing comparable to it, if you actually want like solid paper, is Orca. But I like the dust extraction with with the netting. So then I went and bought I saw all these things where people were doing like contoured sanding, like Napa sand. And I went and got the Surf Prep, the 3-inch rectangle sander, the sponge one. And that thing's amazing too for those hard to reach spots that you don't want to like destroy the contour. Because you ever try to sand one of those with a disc sander? It sucks. So, yeah, but yeah, that's where I'm at. Nothing too spectacular. My journey was fairly short, you know, 3 years, 4 years, but I definitely know what I want now and what that my standard is for dust extraction. Cause I have Festool dust extractors and I just hook it up to my Mirka, and I I got the adapter for the Festool hose for the Surf Prep. So it works perfect. But how about you, Josh?
So I started off with a Black and Decker sander, which it's like, man, I tell you, you start that thing and you're like,
whole body shaking. Like,
you get done and basically, yeah, it was pretty bad. I don't even know how well sanded my first products were. Probably not at all.
It was just the way. Hey, here's this beautiful piece.
Yeah. Did you just get a sliver? I'm sorry. It's part of the rustic feel.
It's a feature.
But, yeah, there you go. But once I started doing bigger projects, I went and bought myself a Dewalt ROS, and that was like a Cadillac compared to the Black and Decker. Like, I didn't know sanders could get any better than that. So, you know, I'd be using it, and after I'm done, my hand's still vibrating like a day afterwards. But you know what? It was still not leaving swirl marks or not as much. I was getting better, you know, finishes and stuff like that. So, as you know, Instagram and then other people, I started learning about better sanders. And I'm like, $600 for a sander? I'll never buy one of those.
What happened?
Yeah, I bought one of those. I got a Mirka. It seemed to be the thing at the time. I felt like it was better than Festool. Festool was a little bit cheaper, but I think the quality, I believe, is better. I like the paddle on it. I like the different variations. There's actually, you can connect it to an app and see like how the sander's doing. I've never done that personally, but I know you can. Yep, read your manual. You can change your 6-inch disc to a 5-inch disc. You could do that. There's different things you could do with the sander that the Festool just couldn't do. Going into the sandpaper, well, I learned my lessons the hard way. Bought cheap sandpaper. I bought it from Amazon. I bought it from, you know, local hardware stores. Tried Diablo. That was a little bit better. And then once I got the Mirka, I tried the Avernet. I tried the Festool stuff. I basically went through and tried everything I could think of. And then we found Orca abrasives. And I've been using them nonstop since. I feel like their sandpaper actually lasts longer. I will say it doesn't collect sawdust as good as net sandpaper, but that's to be, you know, expected. I mean, like the net sandpaper, you have a lot of surface area for it to pull from versus the holes. But I definitely get more usage out of the sandpaper than Avernet. And then if I do corners, it's not going to tear versus Avernet seems to do. And then I learned with the Mirka, there's a disc saver. So you actually put that on. I didn't do that the first round and ruined. I had to replace it because the hook and loop wore down eventually. So there's been a learning curve. And with that has been dust collection. So the Black & Decker had a little bag attached to it. So did the Dewalt ROS. And then I attached my shop vac to the Dewalt, and that worked. But then now you're having hearing protection the entire time. during the summer or whatnot, and you're sweating, and that's not fun, right? So, you know, when I bought the Merca, I didn't have a dust extractor yet. So I was still using the shop vac, and it wasn't collecting that much. And I'm like, well, this ain't working well. So I finally went and bought the Festool dust extractor. And the combination of those two tools is a very expensive combination. But I use the dust extractor for a variety of stuff in my shop and for my sander. And I tell you, it could be dead winter, 100 degrees outside. And I could be inside, and I could do all the sanding I want, and I don't have to worry about much. Should still be safe and wear protection, but wear protection. But
strap up.
Take that as you will.
So real quick in the chat, they talked about, you know, we're talking about all the orbitals and all the hand sanders we've used. Real quick, we can touch on these because I don't think any of us really have too much experience. I think I'm the only one that's had a spindle sander. I don't know if you guys have had one. You have a listen. You've never talked about it, so I don't know that you have one. Yeah. You have the rigid.
I don't use it. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So okay, you have one too.
Yeah. You don't remember the plaques that we did?
Oh yeah. Yeah. Did you have a rigid too, or was it a jet?
No, mine's a Wen.
Oh, Wen.
The little Wen that could.
The little Wen that could. I do remember that. Okay. Yeah. So spindle sanders. Mine's dead in a trash can. So there's that.
What, is it rigid?
Yeah.
You can get that replaced. They have lifetime warranty, dude.
Well, it's gone. So,
so with the rigid, certain models, certain years, a lot of people had issues with them, but they do replace them because they're warranty. I love mine. I just don't utilize it very much because I went from having to shape a lot of the projects because of the tools I had to now having the CNC and laser that do a lot of that for me, or even the bandsaw. So, when I need it, it comes in handy, but it's not such a big tool where I need to get rid of it. I definitely like having it.
So the only reason why I got rid of mine, or why it's in a trash can, nowhere to be found ever again, is because I'm pretty sure mine got damaged in the move, and I didn't know it until I went to go use it, and the motor was seized.
Okay.
So it has nothing to do with like Rigid's, durability. Like it was a good spindle sander when I used it for its price and what it is, but unfortunately I went to go use mine and the motor was so seized it actually started smoking. I don't know what happened to it. I just was like, well, I guess this is a loss. That sucks. And it was obviously outside the window of me claiming it, so yeah, it disappeared. But Nick, what about your little Wen that could? How do you like the little guy?
I don't like it. It's what you expect for a Chinese half-assed piece of equipment. So you know how on the rigid, the one side contours, it'll fold up or down to get or down to give mm-hmm. you like an angle. Well, there's a lip on mine, so you can't slide anything clean across it, even when it's flat. So it keeps catching. So it makes sanding edges absolutely a nightmare. So most of the time what I do is I try and get the orbital sander, the Merca, to do the majority of the job. And I'll just try and touch it up with the orbital sander if I have to. Spindle sander. I'm sure if I had like a real nice jet or something like that, because I've seen those out there. Those are real nice with the cast iron. The cast iron tops, those are super nice, but I wasn't ready to spend that much money. I bought it for to do plaque edges, and at first I thought it was cool, and then I was like, wait a minute, I'm not getting a 90 degree sand off this, you know? And then I was like, all right, yeah, this is garbage. So,
well, there you go. So
don't buy the Wen. Don't buy that.
Yeah. So I will say the rigid spindle sander, pending a move, is definitely good for a starting spindle sander. I also looked at the jet as well, but as Nick said, was not prepared to spend money on that type of spindle sander because I don't use it that much. Josh said.
Even if you had the money right now and there was nothing else you needed, would you spend that or would you buy one? Say cost was an issue.
Sure.
If cost was an issue, I mean, hell, I probably wouldn't even get a jet. I'd probably... What other company? Well, I guess Jet is really the one I know, but what other companies make Powermatic make one?
I'm sure all the major brands have one. Grizzly has one. Jet has one. Laguna probably has one. But my point, me asking this question, is because I don't think I would. I don't utilize it enough to see or use for it in the shop. When I do need it, the little one works just fine.
Yeah. Well, when you say if cost is not an issue, yeah, I'm gonna buy the best shit I can, even if I use it or not, you know. But if cost is an issue, I probably would rewind and not buy the spindle sander.
Yeah, well, I mean, say you had the same working space you had now. Cost is an issue, but I mean, like, it would cost room.
I mean, I still would buy it. Cost is
no issue. I'll just buy a bigger shop. So.
No, for this one particular, you're really making this difficult here.
No, okay. So honestly, spindle sanders aren't that big. The footprint isn't that big. You could put it on a shelf and it would be fine.
Yeah.
So
not for like the one I'm thinking of, the actual the jet ones are standalone and stuff like that. Oh,
well then, yeah, no, probably not then.
Yeah. Now, drum sander is a totally different story.
Yeah, I love my drum sander.
Yeah, I need to get a nice one.
Supermax 2550, baby. Let's go.
Yeah, I keep eyeing them, and you know, if I ever
I thought you had one.
I do. I have a Ryobi. She's a classic.
I didn't know Ryobi made stuff like that.
If you didn't have a CNC or laser, would it be more worth it? Well,
yes.
Maybe not. Still, just because the reason why I would need a spindle sander is to deal with the edges, the CNC leaves, which is really the only reason why I bought mine.
Well, you have your, I know you don't like it. The bandsaw for me can clean up a lot, and then you can go ahead and use the spindle sander.
Maybe.
I know you don't like your bandsaw, but we're trying
to. No, I like my bandsaw. I just suck at using it. There's a difference.
There's a truth. It took years to get here, but we finally made it. I have to
use mine tonight.
Yeah.
But I used it last night, too. I'll tell you what. Having that bandsaw has, like, even though I don't use it all the time, but when I do need it, that thing is money in the bank, baby.
It's one of my favorite tools.
One piece of wood, and you make two.
Well, I've got issues with mine, and we'll talk offline about it. It's smoking, and I don't know why. It's not in the wood either.
You should get a Chantix.
No. No. Shut up, Nick. But hey, listen. Sanders, at the end of the day, we all started somewhere with our sanders. We started from hand paper to the little block to the orbitals to the more expensive Merca, Festool, and even Nick's Surf Prep. We've talked about the spindle sanders, how whether we'd use them or not use them. We touched on drum sanders. I think we could go longer on that, but I don't want to dwell too much on sanding.
Yeah.
But it doesn't matter what sander you have. You can still do the same job. You know what I mean?
At the end of the day.
That's what we're getting at. Like, you just – it's – you can get the same results. You're just going to exert more effort. So.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah. Palm sander is going to suck if you got to do, you know, like a 2 foot by 2 foot area and all – or 3 foot by 3 foot or 4 foot. You know, it's all going to suck all the same. Yep. I think the style again. Of sander, what's that?
You suck again.
You suck again. But I think at the end of the day, the type of sanders you get are going to either A, make you more efficient, make things easier in the shop. But at the end of the day, not everyone can afford the efficiency. Therefore, will suffer the hand orbital. And I mean, it just kind of is what it is. Every maker has done it at some point in time. So,
mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, I think that's a good wrap-up. I think next time we should probably hit into what sanders create, dust, and how to prevent it in your shop and the safety hazards it can cause for you and later down the road, and how to prevent that with the different methods of collecting and slash preventing. So with that, let's close it down. Well, starting off with, we want to do it traditional or we want to do it the new way?
Just closing remarks. Call it a day.
Okay. Well, then we'll start off with Nap.
Hey, it's me. It's kind of traditional.
But hey, we're doing the closing remarks. So we talked about quite a bit of stuff today. I think one of the highlights we had today was talking about being able to help people out, don't be rude and whatnot. But one of our patrons, old Matt, talked about not knowing people's story. Yeah, get to know the story maybe, because maybe sometimes there's something behind why people are the way they are. But if they're rude, I'm sorry. I don't know what to do for you there. But try to help everyone out in the community, because that's what this is about. The only way we get stronger is if we go ahead and keep putting our best foot forward. Outside of that, it was great talking with y'all. Thanks, patrons, for joining us. Nick.
All right. So, like always, take care of yourselves and each other. And until next time, you can pick your friends and you can pick your nose, but you can't pick your friend's nose.
Old school. Taking it back. I remember that.
I like it.
Good one.
Yeah. So thank you for listening to the 144th episode. Hopefully we weren't too abrasive for you. yes, I did.
How dare you?
I know. Thank you to PWNCNC for sponsoring us in general. Check him out. He has a lot of stuff going on. Go make some sawdust and make sure you tune in so we can whisper in your ear. Sawdust Nation Podcast out.
Out? Are we bringing it back for real though? Like the 1, 2, 3 out thing? Like Sawdust Nation Podcast out?
I don't know. Do you guys want to go out together?
Hey.